And the next verse is even more powerful. It is so strong. It shook, should have shaken anybody up. Not only that, the third verse I was reading in one of the commentaries is a very, very beautiful verse for us to apply in our life. It's a very, very nice verse. So verse number 3. Klaibhyam masmagama partha. Naitatvai upapadyate. Shudram hridaya dorbalyam. Yatvo tishtha parantapa. So klebium, you can't use more strong words than that. He calls him impotent. Klebium is, he calls him a eunuch. You know, eunuch is one that is neither male nor female, has, you know, neither of the, you know, parts of neither male or female. It is the one, you know, in India we call them hijras. So he says, you are that. And can you imagine the greatest warrior who has, you know, single-handedly fought the Kaurava army? You're calling him a eunuch, you know, insulting him. You cannot ask for a bigger insult. But he says, I need to, because this person needs to be woken up. He needs to be shocked. This is like, he needs to be shocked. And that's what he says. Klaibhyam masma gama. Do not give up. Do not give in to this impotence, this klaibhyam, this. We are behaving like an impotent, like a eunuch, O Partha. Now, why does he use the word Partha? Partha is because he is the daughter of Pritha, Kunti. I'm sorry, he's the son. His mother was, Pritha was Kunti. So he's the son of Kunti. And Kunti was such a noble individual. She was so spiritual, so evolved, so such a wonderful, great devotee of the Lord. And he says, you come from such a mother and then you are acting like this. So he wants to shame him that look, the kind of family you come from. Na etat tvai upapadyate. This does not be suit you, does not, you know, is not worthy of you. You who is capable of so much, and now you are doing this. It's like somebody is from, as we have said before, somebody is from a wonderful family, very good father, grandfather, great, and then he starts doing drugs or stealing. Or you say, what can you imagine? What would your grandfather think? You know, he's in his grave. And what would your parents do if they find out? He says, it does not befit you. And Kshudram, Kshudram, it is not Shudram, it is Kshudram. An extra K is there. Kshudram, that's very important, because in Sanskrit, putting a letter before, or sometimes even an A, or sometimes even a dot, completely changes the meaning. Kshudram, talk. Kshudram means mean, petty, low. Hridaya Dorbalyam, Dorbalyam means the weakness of the heart. Hridaya, it is the mean or petty weakness of your heart which you are exhibiting here. Tyatva, giving up. Utishtha, wake up. Parantapa. Now, Parantapa was one of Arjuna's names. And why does he use this particular name? See, every time Bhagavan uses a name, there is for a reason. Parantapa means scorcher of foes. The one who tortures his enemies, the one who punishes the evil, one who destroys others. Others means those who are evil. So one who can destroy the enemy or punish those who are evil is called Parantapa. Para means other and Tapa means one who tortures or one. He says, your name is Parantapa and look, how are you acting? You are in the previous chapter, he says, I would just like to be, lie down here, drop my weapons and let them come and cut my head. I'll be fine with that. He says, now you cannot even take care of yourself. Forget about destroying this whole Kaurava army. And in a way, it is almost sarcastic. You know, your name is Parantapa. You call yourself that. And look. So it is Bhagavan's way of, in a way, insulting Arjuna. Now the point is, when does the Lord speak? See, the Lord speaks this time. Why? Because the need was there. See, in our case, if we say, I can do it, I'm fine, I can do it, I don't need your help, God. God is okay, go ahead. And you keep on working, and then you meet some problem, and then you can't overcome it, and then you meet failure. Then you're sitting down crying, Bhagwan, you know, I am now miserable. That's when he runs. And he says, my devotee is suffering. He is calling for me, or she is calling. Let me go. So similarly, here Arjuna was his friend, was his devotee, was his brother-in-law. And at this time, he needs my help. So Bhagwan comes when we need our help. Same way like your child, you know, if he says, Dad, Mom, I don't need your help. I can do fine. Okay, you keep on. And then he goes to college, and then he takes up a job, and then suddenly he has a lot of problems and financial problem and this problem. And he says, Mom, Dad, I need your help. So that's when you go. As long as if you try to offer help, say, I don't need your help. Don't bother me. But when he or she is in trouble, that's when the parents then run and say, okay, child, what can we do? So that's when the Lord speaks, when Arjuna is in trouble. Now, why does he use the word eunuch? One is, of course, you know, it's like very commonly we also do that. You know, suppose the boy is crying, we say, you know, why are you crying like a girl? You know, or if he's afraid to go somewhere, he says, why? Not that girls are, I'm not mean to belittle, but it's a common expression, you know, or if he's afraid to go in the, why are you scared like a girl? So here also he's telling him, and also he's referring to an incident in the Mahabharata. There's a story in the Mahabharata, which was when the Pandavas were hiding, you know, when they lost in the gambling, they had 12 years of going to the forest, and 1 year they had to stay in hiding, and they had to take up different roles so that they should not be found out. And the Kauravas were sending spies to find them, and these five Pandavas and their wife Draupadi had gone to the kingdom of Virat, to the king Virat, and there each one of them got a different job. So Yudhishthir became the king's kind of, and means like he would gamble and play, you know, dice with him and play all games with him to entertain the king. So he was the king's entertainer. Bhima, he loved to eat, so he became the cook. He joined the kitchen. He was a cook. And Arjuna actually knew dance, so he becomes a dance teacher. But because he looks like a man, like a warrior, so he cannot be taken as a dance teacher because nobody would hire him, you know, with my young daughter. So he pretends to be a eunuch. So he, even though he's a man, he wears the clothes of a woman and talks like that and acts like that. So that's why he's hired as a dance teacher. So he had done that job for a year. And then Nakul and Sahadev, they take care of the horses, you know, and the cows. So Nakul and Sahadev. Now, why did he become a woman? There's another interesting story. There's so many sub-stories in Mahabharata. It's a lot of fun. It says Arjuna's father, you know, was Indra. You know, his mother, Kunti, could invoke different gods, and she got children from different gods. So like Karna was from, you know, invoke of the sun god, and then Yudhishthir was Yamaraja, and then Bhima was Vayu, the lord of the wind, and Arjuna was the son of Indra. So Indra one time invited his son Arjuna to come visit him in heaven. Now you say, how did he go to heaven? His subtle body. You know, in people in meditation, in their subtle body can travel to different worlds. So he went to heaven, and Indra said, come on, son, you know, you're here. So let's, in his palace, there was all the time fun, entertainment, food. He said, come on, you know, we'll have some fun. Like if your son comes to visit or daughter from college, you want to make sure that they have a good time. He said, let's watch the dance. So they have the dancers of, you know, heaven, Rambha and Urvashi and Menka, all these dancers were dancing, the best program. And Arjuna was not interested. He was just looking here and there and not taking any interest. So the three of them get very upset. You know, look, we are the world's best dancers and he's not even looking at us. So they cursed him. They said, because you insulted us in a way, did not honor us, you will be forced to live as a woman for 1 year on earth. He said, I don't think I did anything wrong that much that I should be cursed to be a woman. They said, no, you will need this. This will come useful to you. That's the why we are giving you this. And that's what happened. Arjuna was able to use that curse to save himself for the 1 year. So that's why he calls him Klaibyam. Masma gama partha nai tatvai upapadyate. It does not behoove you. It does not suit your status Shudram Hridaya Daurbalyam. Shudram. Now this K extra changes the whole meaning. Shudram. If you put a K, it becomes Shudram. Sometimes one letter can make a very big difference. Like this husband was on a fishing trip with his buddies. He was gone for a week, fishing and camping. And he sends an email to his wife, having a great time. And he says, having a great time, wish you were here. So that's what the email. But by mistake, he forgot the last E. So he said, having a great time, wish you were her. Now, the fireworks when he came home is more than the 4th of July fireworks. So we have to be very careful when you send an email. So similarly, here K, putting a K changes the meaning from Shudra means the you know, the working class, to Kshudra means mean, petty, low. So Kshudram Hridaya Daurbalyam. So this weakness of your heart is very mean, it's very petty, it's very low. And it's not you. You are not worthy of that. Tyaktva uttishtha parantapa. Giving up this low thinking, uttishtha, wake up. And this is a very, very powerful phrase which has been used by many people, like Vivekananji. Swami Vivekananda says, awake, arise, stop not till the goal is reached. Uttishtha, wake up, rise. And in the Kathopanishad, there is a very beautiful mantra, uttishtha jagrata prapya varan nibodataha churasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgama patha tat kavayo vadanti. So he says, the Kathopanishad, the teacher tells the student, uttishtha, wake up, get up, prapya varan nibodataha, find a good teacher and then learn from the teacher. And when you find some wise people, learn from them. And then what you do? You practice. And remember, it is duratya. It is not easy. The spiritual path is like walking on a razor's edge. Just like if you're walking on a knife, on a razor's edge. Suppose you slip on a, like a sword. What will happen? You'll fall and cut yourself. And durgama patha. And this path is not easy. Tat kavayo vadanti. The kavis. So in Hindi, the word kavi means poet, but in Sanskrit, when the word kavi is used, it means great, wise person, a seer who sees the truth. So he says the wise people, when you find them, you learn from them and you wake up. Don't stay in that old habits of foolishness and ignorance, but learn from them and then change your behavior. But remember, this path of spirituality is not straight. It needs effort. And once you are on this path, you cannot deviate from the truth. You cannot deviate from that. So you have to practice that. So that is what it tells us also, that life is not a bed of roses. Things are not always going to be good. There will be problems. There will be times when you are hit down and when you are, you know, feeling down and in the dumps. But you have to wake up and get up and fight. Fight means get what you need, get what you want, and make yourself strong. So, but how can I do that? I'm so weak and I'm so helpless and I have so many problems. It's okay for you to speak, but you should be in my shoes. See how many problems I have. So Lord says, why do you forget? I am in you. I am with you. The Lord is within us. And all you have to do is invoke the Lord within. And he is the source, as we said, of all power, all wealth, all prosperity, all goodness. Everything is within us. All we have to do is channel it. It's like, you know, it's like you have this wealth in your house and so you don't know it. It's dug under the ground. And then suddenly one day, you know, you happen to find it. And then you say, oh, all these years I was suffering. I didn't have it. So similarly, the Lord is within us. He says, I am with you. Why do you worry? So wake up and fight your battle and get what you are supposed to get. So this is the very powerful words of Bhagwan. And what Bhagwan thinks that, okay, this much is enough. I have insulted him enough. He will say, okay, I'm angry. I'm ready to fight. But Arjuna is not ready. He has few more arguments. So we'll talk about that in a minute. If anybody has any questions so far at this time, any?
Why the spiritual path has to be difficult? Why not?
Why not easy? No, it is easy. See, it is very easy, but all you have to do is know you are that, that God is within. But if you don't, then it becomes difficult. We make it difficult. It is very simple. It is to find God within. How far is God from you? You say, oh, I'm searching for God. I want to see God. I want to know God. I want to realize God. God is with me, but I make it difficult myself. I make the spiritual. God has not made it difficult. It is because of my vasanas, which I have accumulated over many, many lifetimes, that do not, like when I sit to meditate, I'm thinking about my, you know, my business or my stock market or my cell phone, iPhone, you know, or even, or same thing, when I'm sitting in the temple to pray, instead of thinking about God, I'm thinking about my, or when I'm even reading, I read it and then say, it's too difficult. You know, but so many Mahatmas before us have done it. They have all done it. You know, and if they can do it, why can't I do it? A, we do not have the resolve. B, we do not put the effort. And C, we have obstacles that we have already placed ourselves. So it's actually not difficult. You just have to resolve. And then what happens is the Lord himself helps. Then he makes your life. He says, you call me one time. He says, tum ek baar pukaro mujhko, main ji ji karun das bair. He says, you call me one time and 10 times I will say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, what can I do for you? The Lord is ever waiting for us. He says he has been waiting for thousands of years. It's just we don't have time to turn towards him. That is all. He says, I'm just waiting to welcome my son or my daughter who left and I don't want to come back to me. So it's not his fault. It is our fault. All of these Mahatmas, thousands of them have done it. And there are so many others who are not Mahatmas, not well known. So many people have accomplished it. So why can't I? Yes. But who built them? I created them, right? I created my vasana, so it is up to me to destroy them. It's like I take a thread and tie it into a knot. And then I say, I want to make it straight. You have to untie the threads, right? You have to take out the knot and then you can use the thread. So similarly, I have created the vasanas with lifetimes of wrong actions, doing the wrong things. See, they say wrong action. First of all, wrong thought leads to wrong desire. Wrong desire leads to wrong thought. Wrong thought leads to wrong action. Wrong action leads to more desire. And then more desire leads to vasana. And then vasana leads to desire. There's a whole cycle. So I created this myself. So I have to untie it. Nobody else can. So the vasanas, like nobody wakes up with a cigarette in his mouth, right? The child doesn't come out with a cigarette or with a bottle of whiskey in his hand. Who creates the habit? I do. You know, whether it's smoking or drinking or whatever, you know, habits we have, getting angry, you know, getting selfishness. So the child doesn't have any of those. I created those, so I only can undo them. I cannot ask the teacher, you know, put your hand on my head. Oh, teacher, bless me so that my negativities may be gone. I have to do it myself.
Yeah. It is flow of thoughts. You cannot say, I don't have money. Mind is going to be there as long as you...
So I'm saying it is my thought. My thought are the dirty thoughts. Mine is dirty thoughts.
Yes, it is.
Right. The whole... What helps
us all
is the
right. Yeah. Yes, substitution and sublimation.
Yeah.
So substitute is substitute the positive with the negative, and sublime is sublimation is dedicating to the higher. Instead of doing lower things, do the higher, the lower will drop off. So let's see now, Arjuna, even after all this shock, he still has few arguments, not much. It is almost... Arjuna's arguments are almost ended, so we can look forward to Bhagavan speaking very soon. So verse number 4. Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
Katham bhishmamaham sankhye.
Katham bhishmamaham sankhye.
Dronancha
madhusudana.
Ishubhif. pratiyotsyami. Ujarhavari sudana. So Arjuna still has few more arguments. He's not yet convinced. So katham, how Bhishmam, Bhishma and Drona, these were the two great, not only very great warriors, but very noble people, both of them. So katham Bhishmam aham sankhye, I sankhye and Dronam cha Madhusudana, O Madhusudana, O Krishna, how Bhishma and Drona in the battle I Ishubhi pratiyotsyami. Ishubhi means with arrows. Pratiyotsyami. How can I face these two noble souls with arrows in the battle? O Krishna. Why? Because they are pujahau. They are pujarhau. They are worthy of worship. They are such great souls. Not only one is my grandfather, one is my guru. There's of course, you know, in the Hindu culture, there is a great respect for guru. We'll talk about guru later on, maybe next time we meet, if we don't get to that. But he says, they are worthy of worship. I should be praying to them. Oh, Ari Sudana. Ari Sudana is another one of Krishna's name. Ari means enemy. Sudana means destroy. So, the Lord is the one who destroys our negativities, our selfishness, who are our enemies. Oh, destroyer of enemies. These two, Bhishma and Drona, how can I fight with them? And actually you want me to release my arrows to shoot them and kill them? I should be worshipping them. They are worthy of worship. So as we said, they were great souls. Now Bhagavan's answer is very simple. He doesn't say it, but it is understood. He says, if you think they are worthy of worship, then why didn't you bring a puja thali to the war? You should have brought in a plate with flowers and with candle and, you know, and light and pray to them. Why are you here with a bow and arrow? You are here not to pray. You are here in the middle of the battlefield, and all for 13 years, when 12 years in the forest, 1 year in hiding, you were thinking of revenge. Because you had been mistreated, you had been cheated, you had been, you know, they had tried to kill you, they had tried to poison you, they have done everything wrong, and you have suffered, and for so many years you had this anger of being mistreated, and you were honest that you quite silently suffered, but inside you knew that a day will come when I have to get what I deserve. And after 13 years they were supposed to get half the kingdom. And Duryodhana said, not only I'll not give you half the kingdom, I'll not even give you enough land for the tip of a needle that will stay. That much he was dishonest when he was supposed to. He says, so you are here. And another point, he says, you think Drona and Bhishma are thinking these thoughts like you? Oh, my dear grandson Arjuna is there. How can I shoot my arrows? No, they are very clear. Even though they were on the side of the wrong, but because they had lived in the Kaurava's palace for so many years, so, you know, namakhaya, I have, you know, taken it, you know, from them. So, they said, it is our duty to fight on the Kaurava. They knew they were on the wrong side. They were very, very evolved souls, but they had no, you know, compunction. They had no doubt. They said, we are here to fight, even if it's on the wrong side, even if we give up our life. So, the point is that they don't have any of that. The Kauravas don't have any of that. Why suddenly you are developing this feeling? They are as close to you as you are to them. If he is your grandfather, you are his grandson. He should have as much love for you, and he does. But at this moment, he knows what is his duty. And same way, Arjuna was Drona's favorite student. He always loved him. He was his best student. And he said, but at this moment, he has no doubt. You don't see him crying or, you know, talking to somebody else that why should I be picking up weapon? His bow and arrow is not falling. So you are doing something which they do not reciprocate.